Today on Real Radio.
What I'm going to say to you, I mean with all passion. I believe that the church is dying today. I'm talking about the church in the world is dying today because there is a desert, a vacuum of godly men.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're hearing a mini-series taken from the first 8 verses of chapter 5 called Saints, Sex, and Sinners. It's really a worldview study as we're learning the right ways and the wrong ways to approach this topic, especially for the believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners.
Look a few verses down at verse 11. It says, "But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself," what? "A brother who is sexually immoral. Regarding such a man, you're not even to eat with him." Now, read that. Look at that carefully. Are you supposed to eat with non-believers? Yeah. Witness to them. Love them. Isn't that interesting? But someone who knows the way and is not walking in the way, a fellow brother or sister in Christ, the Bible says, don't eat with them. That's not mean. It's to get them to understand that just as God, are you guys with me? Just as God is not talking to them, did you know that? 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9 says so. And Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says so. God says, "My hand's not too short that I can't save you, and my ear is not deaf that I cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from me so that I will not listen to you, and I will not save you." When we sin as Christians, we break fellowship with God. We're still his kids. God does not believe in abortion. If you're in the family, you're in the family. But if you're not walking with him, you're going to suffer. And in this case, sexual immorality is a tremendously profound sin because it affects our very soul. Listen to this. Is this not sweet? James 5, verses 19 to 20. This is an amazing verse. James 5, 19 to 20 says, "My brothers, if any one of you should wander from the truth," he's talking to brothers now, "and someone should bring him back," remember this, "whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Notice it says save him from what? Death. Not save him from hell. Jesus saves people from hell. If you know a brother or sister who's caught up in sexual immorality or sin for that matter, and you reach them and bring them back into the fold, you have delivered that brother or sister from a life of grief that could even lead to death, premature death. Amazing, huh? Also this, repenting before a loving God means that as a church, we repent of our doctrine. We repent of our doctrine. I'm not talking God's doctrine. I'm talking our doctrine. Look at verse 3. It says, "For indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, I have already judged as though I were present," says Paul, "him who has done this deed." Doctrine. Somehow the church at Corinth thought it's okay to live like this. You know, things like this. "Oh, we believe in the Bible, but you know, some of it's really old. Oh, we believe in parts of the Bible." You know, there's a group out there. Did you know this? There's a group out there called the Red Letter Group. "We only believe in the red letter parts, only the words that Jesus has spoken." And it's interesting because they hold a certain view in life, they have selected an alternate lifestyle. And their claim is the red letters don't address that lifestyle. And yet it does. The red letters do. But that is to say, number one, my authority, my doctrine is over God's, because what they're saying is God's book from Genesis to Revelation is not his book. There's not far from here. What are those guys called? Is it the Jesus Seminar people? up there at the Claremont School of Theology, and they will tell you, they have decided which verses in the entire Bible are of God and not of God. Is that amazing? We will tell you what's of God. Wow. Somewhere I read in the Bible, it says if you add to or take away from this book, the plagues of this book will be given to you. Don't mess with God's Bible. Verse by verse, line upon line. I'd like you to write this down, if you would, if you care about this. I hope you do. I'm going to talk about what a real biblical Christian church is. Kind of started with it with the introduction. A real biblical Christian church. I have to insert biblical Christian church. Is to be so radically different from the world that, one, it causes eyes to burn, as it were. Man, there's too much light coming out of that person or that place. I'm talking about spiritual light, obviously. That's the church that causes problems. Really, what kind of problems we're talking about? Everybody was fine with not praying in Jesus' name until that church over there in Chino Hills got wind of it. And the city fathers were fine with it until that church petitioned the city fathers and then printed up a bunch of t-shirts that said, "I pray in Jesus' name." And it made everybody uncomfortable. Makes your eyes burn. It's too much light. Wait, someone turn down the light. A radical church for Jesus, number two, makes lives uncomfortable. We don't say this in a sarcastic way, but we know this, that when the word of God is taught, it's going to make some people come to Christ and some people reject Christ. We know it's going to make some people break down. It's going to make some people be very encouraged. That's not our job. We're to present the word of God, and God, the Holy Spirit, does with the word as he sees fit. But a church that is alive and real, and it's a biblically based church, is gonna, by nature, make people uncomfortable. Last week, I got emails about how uncomfortable it made some people in the church that they were uncomfortable with the title of the message. And I got one guy who just railed on me, and then the next email I got was a woman who said, "My 12-year-old has never taken notes before on a Sunday morning." That's cool. The word of God slices and dices. It opens up and it heals. You can shoot the messenger. Just make sure you're a good aim. Don't wound me. But that's to no effect. It's God's message. And it's holy and it's pure. Causes our eyes to burn at times. It makes our lives uncomfortable at times. Thirdly, it creates heartburn in us. We know down deep inside, I need to make a decision about this. Man, if you're not a Christian this morning and you're hearing right now, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. He's God that came down at Christmas time, born in a manger in Bethlehem. And he rose again from the grave to get you into heaven. That's how valuable you are. You never again have to worry about self-esteem. God is nuts about you. But there's a problem. You've got all this junk on you from your past life up into this moment, and he wants to wash it away. That's why he died. And he wants to scrub you, as it were, with a Brillo pad dipped in blood. And he washes you clean. He does that in a second. He loves you so much. And if a person hears that and says, "Man, I'm not a sinner. I think I eat, drink, and be merry, and I don't want to hear this stuff, and that makes me uncomfortable." Listen. Your heartburn can lead you to Christ. It can also lead you away from Christ. It depends on what you decide to do with it. It also brings hope to the soul. Did you know that? A church alive and a biblically based church should bring hope to your soul. Number five, it should give peace to your mind. This is the most important thing, one of the most important things for me personally. You can imagine in a church this size, all the stuff that people imagine or think, say or do or whatever, I don't know. And listen, at night when I lay my head down, there's only one person that knows the absolute truth. And that's God and my wife. Right? Peace. Do you have peace? When you lay your head down at night, are you free? I thank God. It happened last night. It's been going on for about 33 years. I lay my head down and I'm asleep in 5 minutes. Why? Because, Lord, check all the bases. Are we good, Father? What, did I offend you today? Did I offend anyone today? Did I somehow misrepresent you today? Speak to me, Lord. You know he's so good. If you pray that prayer and you say, Lord, speak to me. Man, I'm not hearing anything. Lord, talk to me. And then you start thinking, okay, I kicked the dog in the hallway, but that was accident. I didn't even see the dog. You know, you go down that list. Trust me, my friend. As a Christian, the Lord is very, very able to speak to you. You don't have to sit there and make stuff up. I did 56 and a 55. I think I went 56 and a 55. If God is upset, he will speak and you will know it. Just don't pray that prayer with the TV on or a radio blasting. Get alone. And then here's the great part. You have that moment with God and you lay your head down, you'll go to sleep in moments. Doesn't the Bible say he giveth his beloved sleep? He loves me. And he loves you. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, I'll just paraphrase it for time's sake. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verses 28 to 33, that when the gospel was being preached, the authorities got upset and they said, you are not to speak any longer and preach in his name. You know the famous statement. They said, it's better for us to obey God rather than man. And when they preached, and Peter preached and says, you know what? It's by your hands that you crucified the Lord of glory. He's the one that we preach. The Bible says, and they were cut to the heart when they heard that. Very important. We need to be careful, church, that our doctrine is God's doctrine, that we're not trying to convince God of our doctrine that we make up. In a word, Bible. Are you going to marry somebody? Are you going to move? Are you pursuing a job? Do you have family issues? Is it a marital issue? Get your answer from the Bible. Absolute authority, the Bible. The strength is in the Bible. If you don't, our emotions will try to dictate what our doctrine will be. And that will always lead us astray. Repenting before loving God, before we head off to the third point this morning, I want you to picture this in your mind. It's John chapter 8. You can write down the verse. John 8, verses 2 to 11. John 8, 2 to 11. Is this not our God? Now watch this. You want to talk about sexual immorality? Can you imagine with me? John chapter 8, I'll read it. A woman caught in the act of adultery. That's sexual immorality. She's caught. They grab her and drag her to Jesus' feet. Can you imagine? Have you ever got your hand, have you ever been caught with your hand in the cookie jar? Lisa says, don't eat this until it's dinner time. And she walks around the corner and I've got the spoon in my mouth. Immediately, your ability to lie is profound. I was just testing it to see if you needed salt or something. As your nose grows, you know. You're busted. Little Junior, did you eat a cookie? I told you not to eat a cookie. And they have crumbs all over their face, and they're going like this with their hands. They're shaking the crumbs off. Busted. Imagine this woman is in the act of adultery, and she gets caught, and they grab her, and they bring her to the feet of God in human skin. Jesus. What would you do? Listen to this. Now, early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. I've always wondered, how did they catch her? What were they doing there? Anyway. And when they had, and where's the guy? Moses says, bring both of them. Anyway, I think it was a setup. The scribes and Pharisees brought her to him, caught in the act of adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such a one should be stoned, but what do you say? I think that's amazing that they would have that debate in their head. Because they knew he loved the law, but they knew he was gracious. This they said, testing him, that they might have something to which they could accuse him of. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear them. So when they continued asking him, the word means they wore on. You know, to... it's just sickening. And he's writing in the dirt. I think I know what he's writing in the dirt. But so he's stooped down, he's writing, and they continue on. And he says to them, as he raised himself up, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. I think he wrote all the sins of the people who were accusing her. I think he was just looking at that guy. What's the guy's Fred? Fred. Mike. I really do. I don't think that's a stretch. Watch this. And those that heard it, being convicted by their conscience, that's where the Holy Spirit lives, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest. The oldest left first, down to the youngest. And Jesus was left alone. Why did the oldest guy leave first? Because when Jesus started, older people have more sins than younger people do. They've lived longer. They've had more time to sin. He probably looked at the old guy. Fred. Barney. Guy's younger. Betty, Wilma. But younger, younger. Until the youngest one left, and there's nobody there. And Jesus said to her, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, it appears that I have none, sir. And he says, woman, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Go and live your life and make sure that this has no hold on you any longer. What a powerful statement for us to repent before our loving God. Listen. Your life, God wants to radically restore. Christian that's backslidden or non-believer, he wants to restore you to him. And in this gathering this morning, there's probably predominantly three camps of people. There are those who are doing everything they can to walk with Jesus, and it's a beautiful place to be. Now, if you're out there thinking, well, man, that seems like it's hard. No, 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 that's a lie from the flesh and from the enemy. Let me tell you. It's much easier to walk daily with Jesus than it is to be like a stray bullet ricocheting off the wall all over the place. That's a hard life. Are you a Christian and you just cannot, listen, you cannot control your sexual appetite? Listen, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. No man or woman, look at King David. A man after God's own heart. A man who is profoundly represented in the Bible, was not only an adulterer, he was a murderer. But when he woke up, he said, one thing have I desired, and that, not Bathsheba, will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. You guys, if you'd be honest with God right now, you could say, Lord, I struggle in this area. Do you say, for example, please listen to me. This is family. Are we family? Yes. Here's the deal. If you're struggling with your past, and that's behind you, it's past, but it haunts you. You need to trust the Lord, my friend. He says, I will remove your sin, and I have removed your sin from you so far. That I removed it as far as the east is from the west. East never hits west. It's impossible. That's how far it is from you. You need to believe him. Number two, if you're living in a way where you've got no power, you think, to resist the temptations that come in your life, you need to say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Fill that void up so that none of that stuff has any ability to get in. And what I'm going to say to you, I mean with all passion. I believe that the church is dying today. I'm talking about the church in the world is dying today because there is a desert, a vacuum of godly men. I believe that there are godly women in the waiting. Because I think Satan, did you know, male or female, I think from the beginning, Satan has always had it out for men. He knew from Scripture that the Messiah would be a man. I find it interesting that the number one, by far, miscarriage rate, a child miscarriage, predominantly, heavily predominantly male children are miscarried. Did you know that? It's, for whatever reason, it's harder for a male to come to birth. The pressures that a culture puts upon a male. You look at the Bible, and the Bible puts a place of responsibility to the male. And if God is, listen, if God has called the man to be the leader, then where are the leaders? I think there are a lot of good men, like the Marines, that are just looking for a few. I think men today, because they're void of the Holy Spirit governing their lives, they'll click on a pornographic site, commit sexual immorality in their minds, become so condemned and so guilt-ridden that they walk their life like this. They're a failure at their marriage. They're a failure with their kids. They're a failure compared to what is stirring in their hearts. They're living a sub-normal Christian life. And you don't think anybody's watching. My friend, you know God is watching. And here's the thing. Will you be so filled with the Holy Spirit that trash can't get in? Because listen, will you allow yourself to fall in love with the power of God in your life so that he's using you? Ken and I were talking about this before service this morning, that God would keep us usable. To love when God uses you so much more than a 5-second click. My friends, listen, male, female, it's not worth it. What the world is offering you, it's not worth it. Don't do it. Don't even go there. Don't even allow it. You say, well, I see a computer and I run to, then throw the computer away. Do you love it more than God? Get it out of there. Well, every time I drive down that street or that freeway, there's those billboards. Then take another freeway. Love him more. Watch what happens. If a few men will do this, it will spark a flame. And I don't think the world has yet seen in these last days what God can do with a few good men and women sold out to him. And so Paul writes this letter to get you and I ready for the days ahead. Can't be a spectator to it. You got to be in it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a study called Saints, Sex, and Sinners. It's a look at the first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Saints, Sex, and Sinners is actually a series within a series as Pastor Jack takes us verse by verse through this New Testament letter written by Paul, which we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now this series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, is still available in a 3-CD set. You might be thinking, I'd kind of like to hear that one again, or gee, I'd like to send this to someone that I love. Well, our offer still stands. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 3-CD series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, the gift you send is completely up to you, and we will send these CDs out to you right away. Just remember that whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name. It's called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, and it's a 3-CD set. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real simple. You'll see right where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all our contact info can be found right there at our website, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.